We're joined now by our two regular guest political commentators, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the Weekly Standard. Welcome once again.
Good to be here.
I want to put a hypothetical question to both of you. If you had the benefit of some years to look back on Election Day, Election Night 2002, what do you imagine you would be writing about this moment in our politics? What would stand out as being of significance in the election just concluded? David Brooks.
I guess if I were a future historian, I'd be writing that this was the election that George Bush, whose face has since been carved onto Mount Rushmore, dominated. He did dominate this election. This election was essentially tied until about 4 or 5 days out. We began to see changes in the polls, a whole bunch of polls that suddenly showed Republican advantage. None of us, including me, didn't really believe those polls. They turned out to be right. So what happened in that last week? Well, Bush nationalized the election, single-handedly nationalized the election. A lot of people in the swing states looked at Bush as the only serious person in Washington. They trusted him. It didn't matter about Enron. Enron didn't matter. It didn't matter about the economy. U.S. consumer confidence has dropped 60% in 2 years. They trust Bush, and they wanted people to help him.
E.J. Dionne, is that pretty much what your entry for the election of 2002 would say?
Not exactly. I would sort of begin with the words money, passion, message, leadership. On each of those grounds, the Democrats failed. And I think one of the worst things the Democrats could do is if they begin making alibis and try to say this wasn't a big deal. Yes, you can argue that the difference between success and failure here was very thin if you look at the close races, say, in Minnesota and Missouri. But if you're only 6 inches from a cliff, if you walk 7 inches, you fall off the cliff. And that's what the Democrats did yesterday. I think what you saw was a very partisan electorate, that George Bush and Karl Rove made a choice, which turned out to be right, that midterm elections are dominated by voters who have a passion to get out there and support what they see as a clear point of view. I think the Democrats played right into the hands of the Rove-Bush strategy because they couldn't quite figure out whether they wanted to oppose Bush or embrace him on some things. In different states, they did different things. And I think here's the really odd thing, that the Democrats ended up putting a partisan veneer on an essentially accommodationist message. Mm-hmm. Bush put an accommodating cover on a fiercely partisan effort. And guess which one won?
Well, the way E.J. is describing it, David Brooks, there were real tactical coups here by the Republicans and tactical miscalculations by Democrats, but not some fundamental movement in the politics of the United States. Is he right? This is essentially battleground stuff?
I think we're essentially agreeing. I'm emphasizing the positive things the Republicans did, E.J., the negative things or the unfortunate things the Democrats did. It is kind of interesting to watch E.J. go through the 6 stages of grief all in about 15 minutes. I guess I would say that it is that clarity of vision. There was a New York Times poll that said, do the Republicans have a clear vision for the future? 42-39 thought they did. Do the Democrats have a clear vision for the future? 31-49 said they did. So even you had a lot of Democrats who thought that Democrats didn't have a clear vision for the future. Now, the question before the Democrats now is, do they go left? Do they go with Nancy Pelosi? Do they go and say, we're going to oppose the Bush regime change in Iraq? We're going to oppose the Bush tax cut? And we may not win, but at least we'll believe in what we say.
I've moved to the stage of resolve in that process. And I think that this is not simply tactical. And I think the worst thing the Democrats could do is have that stale old debate that says, oh, we were too left or we were too center. It goes to the polling data David cited. Most Democrats in their guts believe the tax cut was a mistake and needs to be reconfigured. They weren't willing to say it. Most Democrats have doubts about the way Bush handles foreign policy. They weren't willing to say it.
I just want to ask you a little bit about the future of the Republican Party for a moment. Yes, they now control the Senate. They still control the House and they control the White House. That means, David, that we now expect them to actually pass things and enact a program. Are they ready to do that, actually?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk that they're worse off for having won these. And because I'm a sophisticated thinker who sees 6 steps ahead, I've come to the conclusion that it's better to win elections than lose them. Uh-huh. And so I think they are better off. But let's look at 2003. There's possibly going to be a war in Iraq in the beginning part of the year. And then there's quite likely going to be a Supreme Court fight at the end of the year.
You mean a retirement on the court and then a fight over who will replace
that
person.
It's not entirely unrealistic to think that William Rehnquist will step down, take this opportunity to step down, maybe one or two of the others of the Supreme Court. Bush may be picking one or two Supreme Court justices. That would mean an incredibly raucous year in 2003. I'm not going to predict what's going to happen after that, but it does mean the Republicans will have owned responsibility for whatever happens next year.
You agree, A.G.?
Well, let me enthusiastically agree with David that it's better to win elections than to lose them. But I do think the fact that the Republicans have full responsibility, and the Democrats, if they decide to set some limits, say, we stand for this, this, and this, and don't look like they are generally obstructionists, they could be very effective. I think the danger for the Democrats in this is they will look at this election, and a lot of vulnerable Democrats will come up in the Senate in the next election, and they may decide to play ball with the Bush administration. If a lot of that goes on, the Democrats will continue to have this problem of incoherence.
If I could just add one thing, I think voters voted on things that were not raised by the candidates, and I think they voted on September 11th. I think they voted it with a Cold War mentality that we're engaged in a long-term war. And it was that subtle Cold War mentality that seeped across the electorate and helped Republicans on homeland security issues and in international security issues.
Bad for anyone who's perceived as a dissenter in those terms.
Absolutely.
Unusually so.
Except the Wellstone case is a good example. And I think there are other senators like Levin and Durbin did just fine in the election.
Well, thanks to both of you once again.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of The Weekly Standard.